You know, Jesus said, prophets without honor in his own hometown. And being as I don't claim to be a prophet, with all my brothers and sisters here and other relatives, I know where I stand. And I don't promise to be as short tonight as it was this morning either. Turn with me, if you will, to the next to the shortest book in the Old Testament, Haggai, one of the minor prophets. Haggai chapter 1, we'll read the first 11 verses. In the second year of Darius king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, unto Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with hose. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. Brother Earl, would you stand and ask God's blessing on his word? My topic tonight's a bag with hose. A bag with hose. The text is found in the latter part of verse 6. He earneth wages. He that earneth wages to put it in a bag with hose. If you notice in the verse previous and the verse after this, both of them, it says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. This scripture takes me back to my childhood. I used to milk cows, as many of you have. And you know, if you milk a cow, you expect to get much milk from it. You have to give it feed. And I remember in the fall of the year, each year we'd load corn into the truck, and it'd be my job to get the feed sacks. And you know, sometimes there's bags with hose. We had an old ice box in the barn. That's like a refrigerator without a plug-in, a cord on the back of it. You know, it had a place for a big block of ice to cool your produce and things. And that was before my day when it was used. But being it wasn't used anymore for what it was designed for, it was set out in the barn. It was used for storage. And we'd store the feed bags in it. The idea was to keep the mice out of them. You know, it shut like a refrigerator does, and obviously a mouse couldn't get in there, you would think. And so every year in the fall of the year, we'd load up some corn. I would get the bags and put them in the truck, and my grandfather and I would head off to town. He'd back the truck up to the chute at the feeding mill, and it'd be my job to load the corn into the mills. He went in and made arrangements to have it ground. And they would grind the corn as I shoveled it in. And when I got done shoveling, I'd take the bags inside. And the person doing the grinding would mix in some molasses and some salt, things to make the feed more palatable to the taste of the cows. And after that was all ground and all mixed up, then he'd take one of those bags and put it on the place where the feed come out of the mill. And he would lift a slide and feed would run out into the bag. When the bag got full, he'd put the slide back down, take a piece of binder twine and tie it around the top, and we'd drag the bag off and put it in the truck. And we'd do that until all the feed was out of the mill again. At least that's the way it was supposed to work. But many times he'd reach and grab a bag and put it up there, and he'd pull the slide, and feed would start running into the bag, and pretty soon it'd be shooting out everywhere. The mice had gotten into the bags. You see, they like to chew on those burlaps, make nests, but they also like to find any little grain that's left in there. And so then he would shut the feed off, and we would dump it back in, sweep up the mess, and throw that bag away and get another one. And we'd do that until we was done. But sometimes we'd get a bag, and it appeared to be all right. We'd fill it up, he'd tie the top, and we'd carry it off to the truck, and sometimes we'd leave a trail of feed all the way to the truck. Some of the feed just wouldn't stay in some of those bags. A little bit of historical background on our lesson here today. Haggai preached and prophesied after the Israelites, the Jews, come back from their captivity of 70 years in Babylon. Remember, they had sinned and God gave them over to Babylonian captivity. Around 50,000 of them come back to rebuild the temple. That was their goal. That's what they come back for. This was about 1,500 years after Abraham first came to the Canaan land. It was about 1,000 years after Moses brought the Israelites back from Egypt. It was about 500 years after King David was king over Canaan, over Israel. So you see, it's pretty close to the end of the Old Testament. These Jews come back and they begin to rebuild their temple. It was a time of revival in the land. The altar was rebuilt. Their sacrifices was being made. The feasts and the feast days were reestablished. It was a time of joy, revival. The foundation of the new temple was built. It was a time of joyful thanksgiving, but this revival didn't last very long. There was enemy threats from surrounding nations, especially the Samaritans. They come in and threatened them, and the Israelites were discouraged, fearful, and frustrated. And they stopped work on God's house. For 15 years, there was no work done on God's house. Now, I don't mean to tell you that they didn't do anything. They had come here and they started building their own houses and put up shelters for them to live in, and they planted crops and God blessed them, and they'd done really well. But now, 15 years, and they haven't done anything on God's house. Haggai says, consider your ways. The foundation was left exposed. There had been no walls, no roof put over it. It's just laying in the ground, left exposed. And everybody seemed to have a who-could-care-less attitude. Too often we see that today. Many people start out with a good, firm foundation in the faith, but they're no longer growing. They started out with a lot of zeal and enthusiasm, but they're not building anymore. Their once solid foundation lies exposed to the weathering effects and elements of this world's system of values and attitudes. Do we have time for prayer and reading of God's Word each day? Or is there construction going on? Or is it a general strike? Are we building? Are we carrying our sign back and forth on the picket line? Could it be even worse? and we may be hindering God's work and what he's trying to do through our brethren in the church. Haggai said, consider your ways. Get your priorities straight. Put things first things first. He said, you're building sealed and paneled houses for yourself and nothing for God. Now, we think of a sealed house, we want a ceiling, something to hold the insulation up and so forth in our house. We don't think that's that fancy. But what he's talking about is something lavish. An arch ceiling like we have here. It may have even had glitter in it, I don't know. But this was their house, not God's house. They was building lavish houses. The kind Solomon, the type he would have built when he built the temple, you know. I know they didn't have the kind of money he had, but they had a lot because God was blessing them very much. He said they built paneled houses, and that don't sound like so much either. My house, the first part of it, I paneled the whole thing. Why? Because that was the cheapest and the fastest. But that's not the reason they was doing it. Their paneled house was the most expensive, the most lavish possible. They went to Lebanon and bought the cedars of Lebanon. They had them hewn down and frayed them all the way back to Israel. And then they sawed the panels out of that. The very things, the very lumber that they should have been putting in the temple, they put in their houses. God said, a paneled house for you and nothing for me. Get your priorities straight. You know, in our building projects, it may not be a house, but it might be. It may be something else. Maybe our business. Maybe our work. Maybe it's just books. We love books. Or maybe it's our bank accounts while God's work's neglected. God said, you have a bag with holes in it. A bag with holes in it will cause you loss. Just like when we drug the feed out to the truck and it strung out a string of feed all the way. It'll cause you a loss of riches. It'll cause you a loss of witness. A loss of testimony. A person without a witness has nothing. It'll cause you a loss of strength. Power in prayer. No power with God, no presence with God. A bag with holes in it will cause you to look. What will it cause you to look for? What you lost. It'll cause you to look because you're not content. There's no peace. You're not satisfied with Christ anymore. It'll cause you to look for fun. Our fun meters are pegged out. We're chasing after the fun things today. We're looking for things. Oftentimes, it's not pleasing to Jesus. Things of God don't satisfy us anymore. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But with a bag with holes in it, the joy leaks out. We need to rekindle our joy. We need to get our strength back. A bag with holes in it, we can't have any peace. A bag with holes in it will cause us to look where we shouldn't. I believe it was David said, I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. A bag with holes in it will cause us to linger where we shouldn't. In Genesis, we're reminded that Lot lingered where he shouldn't have ever been in the first place. We won't be walking in paths of righteousness. A bag with holes in it will cause us to be lost. A bag with holes in it will cause us to leave. It'll cause us to leave God's work. It'll cause us to leave His will. It'll cause us to leave His church. And it'll cause us to leave God. A bag with holes in it. Think of it as inflation. That should be easy for us to do. So much money, so little satisfaction. Have you ever saw a time that there was so much money, but yet it would buy so little? Elizabeth called me the other day, and she was filling out her baby book. And you know, those are those things that you fill out when you get a new baby and you put it away in a cedar chest and never see it again. And hopefully your children, when you're gone and they're going through your things, they'll find it and then they'll see how things was back there in the good old days. Well, she called and she said, Dad, I need to ask you some questions. I said, okay. She said, I need to know what the average price of a loaf of bread is. I need to know what the average price of a new car is, what the average price of a new house is, and maybe a few other things I don't remember, but those things, you know, she asked about. She started with the bread. She said, what's average price of a loaf of bread? I said, well, it's for 89 cents at Aldi's. But she said that wouldn't do. I said, well, I got an ad right here from J.C. Store. It's on sale at J.C. Store for 99 cents for a loaf of bread. Now she said, I want the average price. If that's the sale price, that's probably not the average price. And so she said, well, probably it'll be a little more than that. So she said she'd put down $1.29. I said, okay. I thought that sounded reasonable. And then didn't think any more about it until later on in the day. I happened to be in Lagodie and stopped in Bueller's. And as I was in the store there, I hadn't thought of it until I happened to walk by the bread. And I remembered what she'd asked, so I looked. And the first loaf of bread I seen said $2.49. And the next one said $1.75. And as I looked them over, most of them fell in between there. And so I decided that the average price of a loaf of bread in that store, at least, was a little over $2. And from conversation with some of you, I'd say that probably some of you here remember when a loaf of bread was a nickel. And if that's true, then it's increased 40 times. Have you ever seen a time that it takes so much to buy so little? As I started my new job over there, I was going through the computer, cleaning out the emails and so forth. And I saw one that another officer had sent. And it said things they said in 1955. And it caught my eye because I was born in 55. It said 54 years ago. And it had a lot of different prices and things of things at that time. But the new car caught my eye because of what Lizzie had asked. I had told her, I didn't know, you know, they're all prices. I said maybe $20,000, and I'm sure I was probably a little low. But, you know, you can get a small one for under that, and a nicer one costs you more. But anyway, this email said things they said in 1955. It said if things keep going the way they are, you won't be able to buy a new car for $2,000. Said you'll only be able to get a used one for that. And I thought, well, today, you can hardly get one that runs for that. It's a bag with holes in it. Think of a bag of holes in it as drought and spoilage. The prophet said, you have planted much, but have harvested little. That sounds like my garden this past year. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a bag with holes in it. God said, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. This is not the devil talking here. This is not the devil fighting this person. Sometimes we don't have our priorities straight. Sometimes we'll say the devil's fighting me. I've got a good Christian friend that anytime I've seen him about, he says the devil's fighting me. Well, don't get me wrong. He's a Christian, but I wonder. Maybe if he had done some things differently in the past, you know, he might not feel that fighting so much now. Consider your ways. It may be it's God and not the devil. If we're not putting him first. If we don't have our priorities straight. In Haggai 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, when anyone came to a heap of 20 measures. In other words, they went to the grain bin. They thought they had 20 tons of grain there. They found out there was only 10. It said, when anyone went to a vat to draw 50 measures, a vat of wine to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. He said, I struck all the work of your hands with blight and mildew and hail, and yet you did not turn to me. Then in Haggai 2, verses 10 to 14, and I paraphrase, the prophet asked the priest, is holiness catching? Is Christianity catching? If we're out and some sinners around us, are they likely to catch it? And the priest come back with the answer, no. And then the prophet turned the question around. And he said, is sin catching? If we as Christians spend too much time in wrong places, are we likely to catch that disease? And the answer comes back an emphatic yes. In Revelation 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich. And that's what these people were saying. They had good bank accounts now. The crops have been doing well. He said, because thou art saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art blind and wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We're encouraged to ask of God if we need wisdom. He's the one that giveth to all men liberally. We're encouraged to buy good bags. Those old bags that we put the feed in, they leaked. They're not much value to put our coins, our money in, as these people were doing. Wouldn't you like to follow somebody as they put their coins in the bag? You could just trail them wherever they went until they run out. But Luke 12, verses 33 and verse 34 said, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. Provide yourself bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think good bags would have the fruit of the Spirit in them. Our bags aren't much good unless they hold love, joy, and peace, and the other fruits. I believe they've got holes in them if they don't have that in it. It's time we consider our ways. As we go leave here tonight, let's think about the bags we're putting, the things we're putting our trust in. Does it have holes in it or not? Will it last? Will it take us through to the heavenly city? As we stand tonight, Brother Snyder, would you dismiss us, please?